Welcome to Missionary Echoes, a ministry of the God's Missionary Church of Lebanon, Pennsylvania at 2127 Hill Street. I am Pastor Alan Walter, thanking you for joining us today, and trust your heart will be blessed as we worship the Lord together.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood.
In the blood
of the Lamb.
There
is power,
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 power, wonder-working power
in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood.
Sins are lost in its life-giving flow.
There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power,
power,
wonder-working power
in the blood.
Physicians know a patient's presenting problem is not necessarily the most urgent issue. To diagnose a problem, the medical profession will ask a series of questions and have tests performed. But the paralytic man who was lowered into the house where Jesus taught had a seemingly easy problem to diagnose. He was lame, so the assumption was that he needed to be healed. When we see visibly broken people, many times we think we have the solution to their problem, forgetting that everyone has a deeper underlying need, and that need is to be forgiven. Forgiveness restores our relationship with our Creator, allows us to find meaning and purpose, and lifts the heavy weight of guilt and shame. When the lame man's friends lowered him through the roof to Jesus, they took a risk. What would Jesus do? Jesus saw past the man's physical infirmity and recognized his deepest need. "You are forgiven," he said. To illustrate and prove his authority, Jesus then told the man to get up and walk. You know, God has power over our visible and our invisible needs. You can trust Him to resolve your real problem. I trust that this broadcast today will be helpful to each of us to be able to recognize just what we need to surrender to the Lord and let Him deal with in our life. We'll be studying the lesson from Luke chapter 5. Stay tuned.
I was in sin's prison, oh so dark and cold. Just a lost sheep wandering from God's eternal fold. Then the door swung open, Jesus said to me, "I have signed your pardon, you may now go free." Jesus signed my pardon, this I surely know. Took my place at Calvary, now I don't have to go. All my life I'll give Him, He gave His for me when He signed my pardon back at Calvary. When the Savior led me from that awful place, I could hear the angels, they sang Amazing Grace. I knew I was pardoned from my sin and shame. Then I join their singing, glory to his name. Life is now worth living, since I have been set free. I'm glad he was willing to save a wretch like me. Now I have a mansion, not a prison wall. Jesus signed my pardon, yes, he paid it all. Jesus signed my pardon, this I surely know. He took my place at Calvary, now I don't have to go. All my life I'll give him, he gave his for me. When he signed my pardon back at Calvary, all my life I'll give him, he gave his for me. He gave his for me. When he signed my pardon back at Calvary, Jesus signed my pardon, this I surely know. Took my place at Calvary, now I don't have to go. All my life I'll give him, he gave his for me. When he signed my pardon back at Calvary, all my life I'll give him, he gave his for me. When he signed my pardon back at Calvary.
Our thanks to Steve and Nicole Cassidy for that good song this morning, Jesus Signed My Pardon. Father, we bow in prayer this Lord's Day morning. We thank you again for the opportunity to be able to be preparing to go to Sunday school and church today. We always enjoy the special events, the special services. Many times we rally out for such events, but what a great privilege it is to stand by the church and stand by the opportunities of worship every time that the doors are open. We pray you'll bless those who are preparing to gather in for worship. Be near to those who can't join us today and numbers that are homebound, that they're not able to get out to church. We pray that these moments that we share together again this morning will be meaningful to each one. We're trusting you for your blessing upon this broadcast and upon this Lord's Day, and that you will get all the glory and all the honor for all that's accomplished. We pray you'll speak into the hearts and minds of each of our listeners and to each of us as we worship you today, that this will be a profitable time of spiritual enrichment and an enjoyable time of fellowship with one another. Undertake for the needs that are present in the lives of each one, and Lord, we'll give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Jesus,
That song by the Discovery Singers expresses my sentiments. Jesus is the sweetest name that I know. Well, we're about to gather in for Sunday school at 9:30 this morning. Will be our Sunday school at the Lebanon God's Missionary Church, located at 2127 Hill Street in Lebanon. I will be absent away at a pastor's conference this weekend, but in the chapel, Reverend Shane Walters will be speaking and leading that service. And so for those who join in the chapel, that will be happening at 9:30. And then in the main sanctuary, my father, Reverend Kenneth Walter, will be speaking today. And so we hope you'll rally out and support his ministry and support the church and enjoy the fellowship and the worship with one another in God's house. This evening will be a youth emphasis service led by Pastor Joel Sickler, as long as everything has gone well with the arrival of their new little baby girl. And so we lift them in prayer and trust that everything is going well for them today. And then Wednesday night will be prayer meeting service at 7 o'clock in the main sanctuary. We invite you again to come out and worship with us this Wednesday night, trusting God for his blessing and his help throughout. Hope and Blast classes will also be happening this Wednesday night. Also this week, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, is the annual missions convention at Penview Bible Institute. That's over in Snyder County, our conference headquarters, and our school, Penview Bible Institute and Christian Academy. And so if you can get out to the missions convention this week, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, I'm sure they would love to have you. And I would imagine that the main services will be live stream. So keep that in mind. Well, I trust you have a great Lord's Day today and you're enjoying serving the Lord, and may the Lord richly bless you is our prayer.
Then I met
Many of us older ones would recognize the voice of Brother Richard Beckham. And what an outstanding voice and great ministry God gave to that dear brother. I'm reading from Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, beginning at verse 17. It says, "Now it happened on a certain day, as Jesus was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Then, behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. When he saw their faith, he said to him, 'Man, your sins are forgiven you.' And the scribes and Pharisees began to reason, saying, 'Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?' But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, 'Why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, "Your sins are forgiven you," or to say, "Rise up and walk"? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins.' He said to the man who was paralyzed, 'I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house.' Immediately he rose up before them, took up what he'd been lying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, 'We have seen strange things today.'" Jesus had just made a circuit of Galilee, healing the sick and preaching the word. Now he was back in Capernaum, his headquarters, probably in Peter's house, and the crowd gathered to see him heal and to hear him teach. But a new element was added. Religious leaders from all across the country were present. I don't know why, but perhaps it was a conference time for them. I do not know if Jesus was the scheduled speaker or if he just took advantage of the situation, but we find him at his best. Now, these religious leaders were intently investigating his labors and perhaps had every right to be, since it was the responsibility of the elders to prevent false prophets from leading the people astray. They had interrogated John the Baptist, and now they would examine Jesus of Nazareth. The scribes and Pharisees picked a good time to attend one of the Lord's meetings, for God's power was present in a special way. God's power was sufficient to meet the needs of everyone present. Unfortunately, they missed their blessing, and finally the paralytic went away with something originally designed for others. But Jesus would do more than heal the man. He would also forgive his sins and teach the crowd a lesson in forgiveness. Though three or four gospel accounts record this miracle, yet it was only Mark who told us how many were helping this man. Four men were anxious about one. It reads there in verse 18 that, "Behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before them." The helpless cripple was unable to come to Jesus himself, but he was fortunate to have four friends who were able to get him to Jesus. These four men are examples of how friends ought to minister to one another and help needy sinners come to the Savior. To begin with, they had faith that Jesus would heal him, and when he saw their faith, their love for the man united them in their efforts so that nothing discouraged them, not even the crowd at the door. How tragic it is when spectators stand in the way of people who want to meet Jesus. Zacchaeus had this problem. In Luke chapter 19, it says he sought to see Jesus who he was and could not for the press because he was little of stature. Sinners are helpless and hopeless unless we can get them to Christ and let him heal them. When these four men could not get in at the door, they went to the roof, removing the tiling and lowering the man on his mat right in front of the Lord. Often an outside stairway led to the flat roof where people sat in the sunshine. In the middle of the house was typically a square place open in the summer to give light and air to the house, but closed with tiles during the rainy season. The hope of many a person is that someone is interested in them. Everyone needs someone to care. Sometimes all one needs is a listening ear. Sometimes they need advice. Sometimes they need some moral support. Sometimes they need a shoulder to cry on. Sometimes they just need a hug or an encouraging word. Very often, it was a friend who brought someone to Jesus. Jairus came pleading for his daughter. The centurion came pleading for his servant. The Syrophoenician woman came pleading for her daughter. Mothers brought their children to Jesus to be blessed. These four men truly saved the day for this dear man. Four were anxious about one. Secondly, a man who went in through a roof came out at the door. The Lord ceased preaching as dirt commenced to fall. He lost his audience to an ever-increasing hole in the ceiling. With his friends still on the roof, this man first had all his sins forgiven. How could this happen before Pentecost? Yes, the disciples were saved before Pentecost. Jesus saw the faith of the five, and in the Amplified Bible it says, "And when he saw their confidence in him, the confidence which sprang from their faith," which reminds us in Hebrews 11 and verse 6 that without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. This man was pronounced forgiven spiritually. We find him spiritually forgiven, and then we find him physically healed. Apparently, before he or his friends could offer a prayer with their lips, Jesus could see their actions brought on by their faith. Then he went to the very root of the problem first. I like the way Jesus first forgave the man's sins and then healed his body. The greater need was met first. Jesus dealt first with the cause of the trouble and then with its effects. It is possible that this man's affliction was a result of sin in his life. Such is not always the case, however. After healing an impotent man in John chapter 5, Jesus told him, "Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee." Job, however, became sick, not because he was a sinner, but because he was a saint whom God could trust under any circumstance. The healing of this man's body was an outward evidence of spiritual healing within. Only the sufferer was conscious that the great burden which had pressed on his soul, that burden of sin, was removed at the Master's word. But all could see the miracle which followed. He who had been able to place the stars in the sky was also capable of placing forgiveness in a man's soul. I do not know if this man was ever required to pay for damages to the roof, nor do I know what harsh or critical words might have been spoken to him by others around him. Yet, however great his account, it never equaled the other account settled when Christ said, "Thy sins are forgiven thee." Hallelujah. A man who went in through a roof came out at the door. Thirdly, notice with me that a man going in on a bed came out with a bed on him. In verses 24 and 26, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Jesus said, "I say unto thee, arise, and take up thy couch, and go into thy house." And immediately, it says, he rose up before them, and took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, "We have seen strange things today." It was a miracle enough that the man could get off his bed and walk. But it was a strange thing indeed to witness the fact that he had the immediate strength to carry his bed all the way home. Can you imagine how dramatic it would have been to witness this? Now his bed was carried in testimony. When people saw him carrying that familiar bed, it was a confirming testimony of what Jesus had done for the once lame man. He would not have needed to say a word. He hardly would have needed to start the conversation. People were waiting in line to hear his story. The man received pardon for sin, a new life, a new walk, and a new testimony. The amazing things Jesus does for us indeed gives us something to talk about. But then we notice, fourthly, that some grumbled and some rejoiced. Those who grumbled, their complaint must have been unspoken, but was expressed in their faces. It says there in verse 22, "But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, He answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Just as sure as Jesus perceived this man's sin and paralysis, so he perceived the evil intent of the critics' hearts. Their fault-finding showed that that was why they came to church that day. They did not come to have their spirits uplifted. They came to pick and find fault. Some people come to grumble while others come to grub up on spiritual food. In the New English Bible, in verse 26, it says, They were all lost in amazement and praised God, filled with awe. They said, You would never believe the things which we have seen today. No, indeed not. There's reason to believe that despite all the marvelous things they had witnessed, the strangest phenomenon had passed unnoticed. A paralytic had gone home with somebody else's blessing. Who knows all the other needs in that house that day, but there's one outside who against all odds would not be denied, and thanks to his believing friends, he got the help he so desperately needed, more than he ever expected. You know, spiritual health is more important than physical health. You can be physically sick all your life and still make heaven your home. But if you die in a sin-sick state, you will be lost eternally. So do not be simply a spectator. Get involved in worshiping God. You need to be spiritually healthy for your own good and for the good of others. Some will never get to Christ without spiritual teamwork. Who are you concerned about today? How much faith are you willing to employ on their behalf? What action are you ready to take to help another find God's help? It is my prayer that each of us will allow the Holy Spirit to guide us each day, every step of the way. May we be a blessing to someone else. May we sense the urgency of the hour to help others get to Jesus, most of all to get their spiritual needs met. And oh, how often we get to see their physical needs met as well. Well, thanks for joining us on Missionary Echoes today. This broadcast is a ministry of the God's Missionary Church located at 2127 Hill Street. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to have you come and worship with us. May the Lord richly bless you and give you a wonderful Lord's Day. And we anticipate being right here again next Sunday morning at 9 o'clock.
Make me a channel of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me bring your love. Where there is injury, your pardon, Lord. And where there's doubt, true faith in you. Make me a channel of your peace. Where there's despair in life, let me bring hope. Where there is darkness, only light. And where there's sadness, ever joy. Oh, Master, grant that I may never see so much to be consoled as to console. To be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love with all my soul. Make me a channel of your peace. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned, giving to all men that we receive, and in dying that we're born to eternal life.
Cross the cross that I may never see, so much to be consoled as to console,
to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love with all my soul. channel of your peace. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned, in giving to all men that we receive, and in dying that we're born to eternal life. Make me a channel.